Now, Father, we thank Thee we can bring our requests before Thee, these items of prayer, items of praise. Continue, Lord, to use Thy will in the lives of those for whom we pray. May they be calm and may they be confident that Thou art able to sustain them no matter what. Answer our prayers, we ask Thee, Lord, in some way. We don't know all the details of how Thou dost want to answer one prayer or another prayer, but these people whom we've prayed for have needs, spiritual needs, physical needs, for health, for strength. In our own church, we need health and strength spiritually as well. So help us to serve Thee acceptably in our ministry. Help us now to open up Thy Word in this book of Corinthians, and help us to find out what we need to know from these words. We pray in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I read the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 8. This evening, we're going to begin chapter 8. We'll read the first three verses. We want to welcome those who are listening to us on the internet. We hope that you'll call us if you have a question or comment. Just say hello. 856-261-9018. Or give us an email. questions@bftbc.org. And read with us if you can. Let me put chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians. We're reading verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge cometh not, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. And if any man love God, the same is known of him. Right, verse number 1. Touching things offered to idols. What is an idol? How would you define it? Any hands on that? How would you define an idol? How should that?
Something that is seen.
It's a big scene. And not only seen, but usually worshipped, right? It's the thing. In other words, Edo, Latria. Edo is seen, and Latria is to worship. Worship that which is seen. Are there any idols in our country today? Any hands on that? Are there any idols? Okay. Who has the gift? Joanne?
Because the church has idols. They have different saints, and those. The Blessed Mother and things like that.
Yes. Bill,
then. Then there's also movie stars and rock stars.
Yes.
Some people idolize money.
Yes.
There's a lot of things in our culture people who do not love God will love material things.
Yes.
So there's a lot of idols out there.
Mm-hmm. All right, questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call. And idolatry is, in some religions, predominant, is it not? Predominant in some religions.
Yeah.
Pagan idols and things like that. And did Israel have anything to do in the Old Testament with idols?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they did. There were a lot of idolatry that was there from pagan cultures. Did you touch that?
Right at the same time that the Lord was giving Moses the Ten Commandments, he was writing them with his finger on the table of stone. The children of Israel were down at the base of Sinai worshiping a golden calf.
A golden calf. They made an idol and they worshiped the Lord God. So it's something, it's Old Testament, something New Testament. And as Bill said, there are many things we can worship, money and prestige, and as well as pagan idolatry. But you know what? Idol, offered idol, we know that the next part of verse number 1, it contrasts two things. What are the two things it contrasts in 1 Corinthians 8:1? Yeah, Tammy.
Knowledge and charity.
Knowledge and charity. What does knowledge do according to this verse?
Puffs up.
Puffs it
up? Oops, I'm sorry.
It puffs up.
What does that mean?
It makes proud. You know,
proud.
Makes proud.
Proud, arrogant. What kind of knowledge would puff up a person today? What kind of knowledge would puff up?
Book knowledge.
Could be book knowledge. Why does knowledge puff up people, do you think? Says it, is it true or false? Why?
Because people listen and they're enthralled that this man knows so much and this woman knows so much.
And somebody that has hyper knowledge, what might be his or her characteristics, their personality? What might be their personality? Yeah?
They might be a little arrogant.
A little arrogant, that's right, arrogant, maybe. Arrogant, proud, divine.
There are people with knowledge that aren't arrogant.
No, I mean, but what might be the situation? Super knowledge. Bill?
There's a lot of people who are very specialized in their knowledge, and they don't have a lot of competition in their field.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, they they think very highly of themselves. Mm-hmm. Orchestra conductors are a great example of that. Most of them have tremendous egos, mm-hmm. because there's not many people doing it. Mm-hmm. So they think they're, if they had more competition, then they wouldn't be so puffed up.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to have knowledge and have humility as well? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, there could be a humble knowledge at the time.
Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect example.
Yes,
of
that. That's right.
He knew as much as he did.
Omniscient, knows everything there was to know, and yet he was a humble servant of the Father, obedient to the Father until death. And so you don't have to be puffed up. But what about as far as the other thing, charity? What is that? How do you define charity in these contexts, for example? And what does that do? That's right.
Charity is caring about other people. Yourself is not as important as taking care of others.
Yeah. Fine.
There's a big definition of charity in the footnote.
Okay.
The love of God for, I think this is right, is it five? Yeah. The love of God for humility, or a love of one's fellow human beings, an act of goodwill or affection, the feeling of goodwill, benevolence, kindness, or leniency in judging others, a voluntary giving of money or other help to those in need, money or help so given, an institution or other recipients of such help. In the KJV, New Testament, charity is always a translation of the Greek word agape, a word that suggests usefulness, self-sacrificing concern.
That's in our defined KJV Bible, the footnotes. Good to have everyone who's listening to us to be sure to get one, yes.
Isn't it agape? I mean, if it's charity, is that how it's translated, if it was agape?
Yes, I believe it is. From
it's God's love.
God's love, perfect love. And so, what does that do? What does charity, if that's
what from becoming like God's love, as Kennedy says, which is unconditional.
Unconditional.
There's no conditions whatsoever upon it. Mm-hmm. Giving without expecting anything returning.
What kind of love is found in John 3:16?
Agape.
And what's the source of, what's the kind of love is it? What kind of love is it? Let's say it to you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what is the point of God's love? What is the object of his love?
Human beings, I guess.
Yes, Pastor Dan?
The world.
The world. Does that mean just good people? Or does it mean all people? All people. Good people, bad people, anybody. So that's God's love. Even the sinners, even those Christians that are fleshly and don't walk with him, he still loves them, wants them back in fellowship. And John 1, 1 John 1:9 is only able to do that. So, knowledge puffs up the charity of the spirit. What does edify mean?
Building up.
Yeah, that's it.
When we think of an edifice.
Right,
an edifice. This is a big, big, tall structure.
Mm-hmm.
So edifying, to build up, you know, build, mm-hmm. build up.
So it builds up instead of puffs up. It's good to have love that builds up and encourages our growth in the things of the Lord. And then in verse number 2, what is true of a man that thinks he knows something? What is that? What's true here?
It says he knows nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Just because somebody thinks they know something, does that mean they really know something? It doesn't always mean that, does it? Huh?
Some people do know things.
Yes. But if, yeah, touch it up.
But the point is, but he doesn't know as he ought to know.
As
he ought to know.
He
may know something, but it's not as he ought to know.
The point is that the man is thinking he knows something.
Yeah.
It's not that.
We're not
having. And so him thinking that is demonstrating that he's focused on himself,
mm-hmm.
rather than on what
what
the Lord wants him to focus on.
Right. Rob Winograd on Sunday when he called and told about his former pastor. And he snapped at everybody to do this. I mean, he was a terrible... He knew a lot. He's with the Lord. I should die. But that's a good illustration. Am
I? I think that pastor was sick. He was sick.
Could be.
And he didn't always... I don't think he knew he was had cancer or anything in the beginning. So he might have had...
So it was a cancer party.
Is it a valid excuse for his actions?
He shouldn't be rude, but...
That's right. Bill, then touch it in.
There's an old saying, a little bit of knowledge is dangerous.
Yeah.
And it's understandable, perhaps he may have not been thinking correctly if he was sick, but how sick he was, and so consequently there may be mistakes, more mistakes he would make in conversation and in writing, so you can't reason through different things as well. I'm not sure if this is the way with all cancers, but with some cancers that would be the case, particularly if it's in the fourth stage.
All right, so the knowledge thinketh he knoweth, but as he ought to know, what should people ought to know? What should they know? What should they be interested in? What kind of knowledge, okay?
The knowledge that can be applied.
All right.
That is actually wisdom, where they actually make it useful.
All right. What type of wisdom and what type of knowledge should we be most interested in at all? Yeah, Joanne?
Well, we know that God knows everything. So no matter how smart you think you are and how much knowledge you think you have, you know, there's one that knows more than what we do. And the knowledge that we need to have is that Jesus died for us.
That's one part of it, Dan.
Well, the passage most said, I want to know Christ.
Not to know him, that's right. And the knowledge of the Word of God, the Scriptures are primary.
Then we know him in the fellowship.
Suffering, we make conformable unto his death. That's right.
Then we know him in the resurrection. And the fellowship.
But for sufferings, make conformable unto his death. All right. So the knowledge of the Word of God, the Scriptures, we must know them and apply them and not be idolatrous in any way, shape, or form. And then in verse number 3, there's a test of love for God. What is the test for love for God? What is true if that's the case? If a person really loves God. What is also true, Vaughn? And Joanne?
What if Vaughn says, love God, the same is known of him.
What does that mean, the same is known of him?
I don't know.
Joanne?
That God loves us. That's what I would say.
Okay,
Tammy? God knows us.
All right. It says, if any man love God, if any person, not simply man, but it's a general person, loves God, the same. Who's the same refer back to? What's the word the same?
The man, I guess.
Who? Was it hands? That's that.
The man that loves God.
Is that the same?
I would think it's the love.
Okay.
The same.
Well, it's the love. It's the man is the love. Any other third choice?
What's Bobby saying? Repeat.
What is this word same referred to in verse 3? No, Bill, excuse me, just your end.
I think the source of love itself is God. And that's, or at least real love anyway. If we love God, it's because he loved us first.
That's all true. Any other comments on who the same is? Yeah,
Joanne? Well, it could be knowledge.
I know what you want me to say.
Well, I don't know. I want to ask.
You want me to say the same as God.
That's good.
But what?
The same.
But I've always read that verse as the same as the man. But
yeah.
But you didn't like the answer.
In other words, the same as any Lord. In other words, the most recent, the one that's closest. And I love God. That's the closest noun. The same. That is what just mentioned. That is God. Knows of him. What does that mean?
Why do they call God the same?
No. It's referring.
The same. You could replace the same with God. God is known of him.
So in other words, anybody love God? In other words, the same way I just talked about God, what does it mean, is known of him? What does that mean,
God,
is known of
he
him?
He knows God.
The man that loves God is known of God.
All right, that's the same known of him, of God, right?
That's what I originally said, but then that was wrong.
The same as.
If the same is referring to God, you're fine.
Why wouldn't the same mean the man? If any man love God, the same man is known of God.
That's a possibility.
Well, that was what I was originally saying.
The man loved God, the same as God.
I wasn't like too much.
It's possible. That is possible. No question about that.
Can you tell me in Greek?
Not necessarily. But the other possibility, the same as God himself is known of him. But it could be the man. Any man love God.
So who of him would be
God
the man?
God is the man.
God is known of the man.
That's right. He's known. In other words, so
in other words, the man knows God.
Yeah, that's
he knows God. Him, and then he loves him.
That's right. He's known of him.
Okay.
So whether it's man or whether it's God, the same. You may be right. I guess it's possible.
I think the man is known of God. Not God is known of the man. I think the same means the man is known of God.
That's
perhaps
possible.
A different type of knowing than God knows all people, but
God knows he loves them.
Yes.
He knows it.
No. It's both anthropos, the man or something, and God, Thaos, are masculine, and the same would be masculine, so it's not going to be decisive whether it's a man or God, but that is very possible. It could be that those gods, the same person, the man, is known of it. God knows his heart. God knows the heart of everybody, every person, whether he loves him or not loves him. So, whatever it is, let's move on to verse 4 since we have it. Either one, I'm sure. In other words, explain this. So let's read the verses. By the way, before we go on, questions at vftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Just say hello. Right here from it. Let's read verses 4, 5, and 6 together. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but God, but one. For though they be that for all gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and idols many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we all are things, and we by him. All right, in verse number 4. Now it talks more about the idols. What is true here? What is it talking about in analogy of this verse number 4? How they get lot?
Did we read about them eating things offered to idols?
Well, that's the first thing. We come to verse 4, so it's talking about eating it, right?
And before up in other chapters,
so just verse 1 a little bit.
A little bit in verse 1.
So
offered to idols, but what would it mean, the eating of those things that are offered to idols? Explain that. Any hands on that? Eating the things offered to idols. Yes, Pastor Ed.
Well, they would, since idols don't have any mouths.
Right.
I mean, they have a mouth, but they can't eat.
Right.
They cannot eat. So you ceremonially offer something to an idol,
mm-hmm.
and then after a while you take it away, and then you sell it to the, at a discount mm-hmm. At the meat market next door.
That's right.
So that's why it's something that was at one point offered to an idol.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get full price. It's been used, mm-hmm. not really, but you can't get a full price for it. So it's could be discounted,
mm-hmm.
and so people would buy that meat and would eat it.
Mm-hmm. Sold in the stores. And remember some of the things in other parts of Scripture that condemns those that are eating things off Christ. That offends some, but doesn't offend others. If I
beauty shops and where you get your hair cut and your nails done and stuff, the nails done shop, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They have, it's been a while since I've seen it, but they have some little idol thing, and then they have food there.
A Buddha.
Buddha is a Buddha.
Yeah. I think they're usually Buddha.
It's been a while since I've seen it, so I can't explain.
That's interesting.
They have them at a few other places where there's, you know, like a Chinese
ownership. Vietnam people.
Chinese.
Chinese people.
And we'll see a little bit later in this same chapter about what we should do if we have served meat that's been first offered to idols, wicked idols. Concerning the eating things offered to idols, the sacrifice to idols, what is true of idols here in this verse? What do we know that's true about idols? Yeah, Joanne.
It says that they're nothing.
Nothing. What does that mean, do you think?
Okay.
Go ahead.
The fact that they're nothing, they're not real, they're not able to hear you, they can't mm-hmm. See you, they mm-hmm. can't do anything, they're mm-hmm. nothing.
Right. Even if they pretend to have that.
There's no significance whatsoever.
Right? Even if they pretend to answer prayer to this miracle, they can't,
can't.
They're nothing.
They're not anything. They can't even pretend.
That's right. Wood and stone. Wood and stone. Mm-hmm. Different things than they may be. Nothing. Absolutely. Yes. But Don says, we know. Who's the we referred to there? We. We know. Who's that? That's Daniel.
Colin.
the Apostle Paul and the church in Corinth and whoever is with the Apostle Paul.
With them together, and by extension, those that are genuine Christians even today, applying that, we know that idolatry. Does everyone know that an idol is nothing in the world? Everybody? No. They have idolatry. It's a terrible situation. And for instance, the American Indians, do they worship idols?
Yes.
Yes, they do. All kinds of idols, I think. All kinds. Back to that.
There are some elements of the Native Americans that are involved in ancestor worship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the influence of some Asian cultures mm-hmm. as well, too bad.
Now, one of the reasons, I think, is Buddhism. Pardon me?
Oh, I think the ancestor worship is called it.
American
means worship.
I don't know the American means, but Buddhism. I understand they have thousands of idols. Thousands. Just imagine all kinds of different ones. Yeah. Bill?
Yeah, they have a lot of deities. They're enlightened beings who once lived on Earth. The central thing with Buddhism is the self. Each person strives to for a greater understanding of their own inner self. So basically, they worship themselves. Many Buddhists don't even acknowledge a creative God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, can't they see that they're nothing, the fact that they don't eat their food, right? Or whatever the sacrifice
The fact that, I mean, which it talks about in the Old Testament, that, you know, you have to carve the wood. First you have to cut the tree down.
Yeah.
Then you have to carve the wood.
Right.
And then, you know, then it just sits there.
Then,
you know, it's like, it's the same wood that you used to burn that you cook your food on.
Who made that item?
Man.
The thing that man made is not going to help him. She's going to make miraculous help. It's really ignorance. It really is foolishness, but you can't tell them that. They just are trained. It puts it in their brain. You know, they have nothing in the world. And what is also true in verse 4? What do we also know?
An idol is nothing.
What do we also know? That
you
last part of that. No other real, genuine God but one. Idols are not God, but the Lord God of heaven and earth, and Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, one God, just one, unity. Then in verse number 5, what is the small g on God's for, do you think? Why small g? Yes,
they're idols.
Idols. Is that a true God or not a true God? It's not a true God. What does it say? That are there just a few? Though there be that are called gods, what are the locations of these deities that they worship? Go ahead.
Well, it says in heaven or earth.
Heaven or earth.
I mean, there were the Greek gods and the Roman gods too.
Yes. That's all part of the gods.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
The translators, they made little g's and big g's where they thought it was supposed to be.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't an original bigger g's and little g's.
That's
the big God, capital G.
So I confess to that.
I think context will tell it.
Yes.
About it. And I believe the Hebrew may not have plurals as the Greek does.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a plural in the Greek language.
Yeah, it has plurals in Hebrew, too.
No, but it's plurals. I'm speaking as...
For God?
I mean, not to get let's not discuss Hebrew right now, as far as the dual and the plural and the singular. But as far as I think she's there's a misunderstanding that the Greek represents plural with an S.
Mm-hmm.
Not theos, but
that
would be plural.
Plural.
Mm-hmm. So it's actually definitely plural.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know God is one, the true God is one. And so when you have the plural of God.
That would be gods.
Yes.
Plural, yes. And that's why they have a small g. I'm not sure about the Greek New Testament text.
The way. I mean, not glory.
But this starts with a capitalization.
Well, not the capitalization, yeah. But the plural.
Yeah. No, we don't have plural. We don't worship gods. We worship one God.
And so contextually, being Trinitarian, there's only one God.
Right.
And when God appears in singular,
right.
It should be capitalized.
Exactly.
And when it appears in plural,
yeah.
It's lowercase.
Lowercase.
That's good.
So it's idolatry. False gods, false deities. And so, in verse 5, God's heaven and earth, and what is true? Should be 10.
Well, these gods, a lot, I mean, Joanne was talking about the Greek and Roman gods.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And some of that, I mean, the legend and some of this, I mean, couldn't some of them be actually the demonic
yes.
race?
Yes.
Come in, like when the sons of God,
saw
the daughters of men, yes. They were fair. And then there were giants in the land. Mm-hmm. And it seems like this was the breed that he created or something.
Yes.
These giant
Nephilim fallen ones, that's right.
People.
Exactly. And
that's the sons of God, the angels. The
yes, fallen angels. Huh? It's referred to in Job. But they were sons of God, were there at the creation, see, several places. So we believe they're fallen angels, kind of cohabit with people, with men and women, so that they could have a terrible race, and God had to destroy the whole universe.
That's part of some of those people from them. Can't remember. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Some of the people that were.
Some of the people from the union of these. Of human beings.
Yes,
with
false gods.
I can't remember how it goes now.
Yeah, thanks.
She's looking for giants.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
We're looking for giants.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Nephilim, really literally fallen ones, the fallen ones.
Yeah,
giants,
that's
the giants.
The giants, that's
right.
So
the giants.
Because they were. They must have been grotesque in some ways, or huge or something.
Well, they were different than people, put it that way. Giant is different
and
than
you know, all
way.
These fairy stories, you know, for children with giants.
Oh, yes.
They have some reason that people, some of those stories are based on the past.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There's some truth in them.
Right. Let's go to what Joanne mentioned earlier about the Roman false gods and the Greek false gods. Who is the head deity in Roman? Who's the head deity? Zeus. Is that Zeus?
Isn't that the Greek?
Well, that's the Greek thing. Who's the head in Greek?
It's Zeus, isn't it?
I think it's Zeus. Who's the head in the Roman?
It was a Jupiter.
Jupiter?
It was
Jupiter.
Because Jupiter is mentioned in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Mars was considered
yes.
Jupiter.
Jupiter, yes.
And Mars,
yeah.
Paul was. Venus,
Mars was the god of war.
Okay, well, wasn't the god of war?
So
Mars was the god of war.
Mars?
The Mars bars, you know.
Chapter 17.
Mars, like the planet Mars?
Yeah, but yes. It was
the god called Mars, yes.
Yes, like planet Mars.
So, I'm glad that we're not too well versed on the deities of Rome, the deities of Greece, so that we know what to do.
This as well, yeah.
This as well. So, these the guys, there are many, as we say there, many and large many in the heathen realm, in verse number 5. There's a plurality of all these false deities, but there's not a plurality in the true God. One God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity, tri-unity. One and three, three and one. Then in verse 6, do we read 6? I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah, we read 6. Who's the us referred to in verse 6? Who's the us?
Us.
Pardon me?
The
us. In verse 6.
U.S. Us.
Who's the us referred to?
Okay,
the believers.
That's right. Those in Rome that are Christians, and by extension, those of us who are reading it here, to genuine Christians, to genuine Christians, what is true?
It's one God.
One God. Capital G or small G?
Capital
G, deity, a capitalized deity. One God. Now, two of the persons of God ever mentioned in this verse. What's the first person who's mentioned?
Father.
God the Father. Anyway, what is true of God the Father in verse 6?
He was the creator of everything.
Creator of everything. Of all things. Of whom? Meaning what?
It was from him.
From him. From the Father. All things created. And this
he,
is...
He is the reason that there is a creation.
The creation. Yes.
The world.
The world. That's right. I mean, Bill, it's good. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I mean, they were trying... Every time they try, the evolutionists try and figure out how it started, they always mm-hmm. come back to the same problem. They have mm-hmm. to figure out where this started from, because if they mm-hmm. say it started from nothing, then well, how did they get something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they always have to go back to, you know, God. God,
yes.
You know, I mean, it's the answer.
Right. We'll get to read, Bill, but I want to say one more thing like that. I read the other day that there's a whole branch of scientists that has finally come to the conclusion they don't call him God, but there must be a powerful one that made all these things. We can't explain them in human terms. Some of them are finally getting through the noggin. Yeah. Hey, Bill.
Jesus is also a creator. The
yes.
Father and the Son.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit.
All three. That's
one.
Right. That's right.
So we have to give Jesus Christ credit
oh,
for
yes.
it as well.
He was with the Father and part of creation.
Yes.
And God yes. said, that's the Logos, that will be spoke, God the Father, and the Spirit will be there. Patronet.
Looking for intelligent design, is that what you looked for before? Intelligent design? We see some of these scientists?
Well,
is that what we're looking for or not?
There was no, I just called, can't think of the name.
Powers?
Just the other day, I don't remember mm-hmm. what the science group was, had a name for it, and they've got a conclusion that they finally got wise to themselves that it didn't just happen, couldn't happen. It says something powerful had to do all these things. They don't call it God. It is the answer. First, you have to take
okay.
Thanks.
You want to take your call?
I'll take this one. Okay. Yes, Barbara.
Hi, Pastor. Hi, everybody. I hear that the concept of the Shema here, which was another God.
She can't see us, but maybe someone else.
She can hear us, Wade.
She's listening.
She hears us through the wave.
And she said,
yeah. Hi, we're waving.
Patricia, all right, that's fine. Okay, and of course.
I realized what she said. I couldn't hear
well, the unity of God, and the Elohim. Now, that Hebrew word Elohim, it's interesting. In the beginning was the word. God created. Elohim, there are three different numbers in the Hebrew language. There's a singular number, just one. There's a dual number, two. Mm-hmm. There's more than two, which is three or more. So, and this was Elohim is the three, see? The dual would just be two, see? So that's these things. So that's what you're trying to say, there's a unity. We normally, though, refer to the Old Testament Lord as not Yahweh, but Jehovah. Now we say that it's a big battle on that, but the pointing of the Hebrew word is Yehovah. And these modern Bibles, all these modern people, they just cut out with Yahweh, see, which is not exactly what it is. It's spelling. In fact, that
as in Lord in all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital
mm-hmm.
D.
Mm-hmm.
You just have capital L, small lowercase O, lowercase mm-hmm. R, lowercase D.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrew word behind that in this word would be Adonai.
Adonai, that's right, Adonai.
But in all caps, be Jehovah.
Jehovah, that's right. And that's, see, the thing, the way it's pointed in Hebrew, we should pronounce it pointing. And yeah, there's a sort of a little sign like a comma. O, that's an O, with a whole olam. And then Yah is J, with a J. It's a, so that's the way it is in the Hebrew. But anyway. But, yes, Bill.
In the Gospel of John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
That that also, I don't know anything about Greek or Hebrew or any of that, but it seems to include, even though the emphasis is on Jesus Christ, it also probably includes God the Father as well. But
in verse 14, it's defined what the word is.
Right? Okay.
And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that particular one. But you're right, verse says Lord could be the whole Trinity and other senses.
Right. Yeah. But getting back to what Dan had said about scientists, some of the scientists are saying that this earth was seeded by aliens at some point in the past. They're serious when they say it, too.
Mm-hmm.
They can't explain creation. They deny it, but they can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
So they try and give themselves an easy way out by saying that aliens from some other planet seeded this planet with life. I think that's funny, but there's a lot of them.
Right. Then verse number 6, one God the Father. What other member of the Trinity is mentioned in verse 6? It has a... Yeah, 10. What other member of the Trinity?
The Son.
The Son. And he's called
the Lord Jesus
Christ. That's his full title. And Lord signifies what? Lord signifies what?
It's ruler.
Well, that's true. Part. What else?
Lord?
Yes.
His
deity. His deity. And Jesus signifies what? Jesus. That's an answer.
Savior.
Savior. And Christ signifies what? Christoph, yes.
Messiah.
Messiah. Messiah in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well.
What did Lord mean?
Lord is deity. Anybody that says he's Lord, that means he's deity, he's God himself. And that's a capital. I see there's a small Lord meaning master, I realize. But in this sense, it's the majesty, the deity, Lord Jesus Christ, Savior and Messiah. And by whom? Yes, true.
Kind of contrasts with verse 5, where it says, Lord's many.
Yes, Lord's many, that's right. Mm-hmm. And then, as Bill said, what does it say about the Lord Jesus Christ in the last part of verse 6? By whom are all things? So the Father is the Creator, the Lord Jesus is part of the Creator. They all have part of it. Holy Spirit also, just mentioned here, but he's included as well, the whole Trinity. By whom are all things?
Interesting is these prepositions. So of whom?
Yes.
For God and by whom?
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom and by whom?
That's right. And then what's the last phrase mean in verse number 6? What is it? And it has a last phrase.
We by him?
We by him. What does that mean? Who's the we referred to? I realize it's a
Christian.
Is it a Christian?
Oh, I'm just thinking about what he said about of and by.
Yes.
Because of is like the source and mm-hmm. by is the means.
Means, that's right. So what does it mean? We, Jennifer, by him. Who's the him referred back to in this verse?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ. How are the Christians by him?
I'm sorry, I'm not answering your question.
That's all right.
I'm still thinking of the of and by. Just like salvation was of the Father, the plan,
mm-hmm.
but it was by the Son.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It'd be interesting to see the preposition for
yes.
the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And then we, what does that we by him mean? How would you work that in, that last phrase? It's a we refers to then Christian by him. Good.
Well, we're saved by him.
By him, through him, and only through him we can be saved, and that's others. All right, we'll stop right here for tonight, but we'll Lord willing pick it up again. Verse 7, chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 8. But do you have any other comments or questions about these verses we discussed so far tonight? Yeah, Tang.
So these lowercase gods and lords, they include Satan and his
yes.
demons.
What is the name for Satan as far as deity? What's the name for him as far as deity? In the scripture, what's he called?
Satan?
Yes. What is his deity name? That's your name.
The God of this world.
The God of this world. That's a small G.
He's not deity.
Well, I'm saying, but he thinks he's deity. See, he's the God of this world.
Yeah.
He's a false God, but he's called himself a God of this world.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
Any other comments or questions before we go? If not, let's close. We thank the Heavenly Father we can talk about the things of eternity, things that I've taught us in these verses about idols and nothing. Help us, Lord, to worship the true God. We haven't seen Him. We haven't seen the Lord Jesus Christ or God the Holy Spirit, who would draw us as genuine Christians. We pray that we may worship and serve the true deity, not the false God of this wicked world, idols. Help us to be true to Him all that we are. Bring us back safely on the Lord's Day. We especially pray for Pastor Dan on this coming Sunday, that I would give him wisdom, guidance, to see what the men believe and what the church stands for, and to make his mind up, and they're making their minds up on Sunday as well as Wednesday. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.